very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, what was that last one? IO Cancel.
Mm-hmm.
And I found all of them. And one of the things we were aiming for is that it should be POSIX compliant.
Mm-hmm.
If we're the interface that we'll be using to access our disks should be POSIX compliant, therefore it
mm-hmm.
should be compatible to multiple systems. I did find a version of it that's POSIX compliant. I mean, there's two headers, and Lewis told me that's the one that he used,
mm-hmm.
that he couldn't figure out how it worked.
Okay.
So I was already making plan to do one more test on it. The interface seems very simple.
Mm-hmm.
They have a structure called a control block.
Okay.
And in that control block, you simply put the, there is a field there for the file ID.
File.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mean the device.
Device ID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The device ID, the operation you want to perform, the length and the offset, and along with some other fields that weren't so important since they didn't even comment on them. So once you set that up, it simply has the functions for the specific operation you want to perform, including IO cancel, read, write.
And you can do that asynchronously as well?
Yeah, it's called the AIO.h, so it's asynchronous IO.
Okay.
So how does the cancel work? Do you read about that?
I read a little a bit about that. It works the same way. You simply give it the control block.
Okay. Which?
Pick the file ID in the control block of which you want to cancel, and
that's
the whole IO cancel.
By file ID, you mean the file descriptor?
Yeah, the file descriptor.
Okay.
The file ID.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was actually already making plan to test them once more since Lewis had tested them and he had a problem with them to see how they work. That's when I found this.
Mm-hmm.
FIO, and I already have the source code, and I read through this, and it's really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Flexible IO Tester.
Okay.
And it gives you a range of options, and apparently they implemented both the POSIX and Linux IO input and output, that is the IO read, IO write from POSIX, that there it is on page 5.
Mm-hmm.
You have the option of selecting either accessing your disk from IO read, IO write from POSIX or the one from the Linux library.
And
that?
So they're using that, page 5.
And they have asynchronous support again?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there it is. It's Linux native asynchronous IO or glib POSIX asynchronous IO using IO read and IO write. So it seems like they've made it work.
Hmm.
And my plan was to go in there, see exactly how they're using it.
Or maybe we can use this
yeah.
stuff directly.
Exactly.
Like
it has so many features.
Yeah, well, one thing is that I also have code with the Linux native asynchronous IO, no?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you're talking about this is for example, so how to use.
Yeah, since you said you had problems using the POSIX version, remember?
The POSIX, yeah.
So I figured if they're using it here.
Oh, okay. Probably they're using
therefore
the right way.
Exactly.
Or for them, it works.
Exactly.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But it's like Raji says, it might be able to perform the exact task what we're trying to do. Because what happens is that you generate a file called a job file.
Mm-hmm.
And FIO takes that job file and take the description of the particular call you want to make, and you can assign priorities. It even uses IO Nice
mm-hmm.
to spawn threads, and I think the IO Nice page is page 7
mm-hmm.
to spawn threads and put priorities on them.
No, this is so. Does it also do timing accurate replay?
That is a good question. That is not one of the things I was able to.
So how do you define, I guess the question is how do you define the workload that you want?
The workload is defined in a job file, and the job file description
mm-hmm.
follows, let me see, job file format in page 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in the job file, the interface itself is very easy. You put options in the job file.
Okay.
And it is in the job file that you're allowed to have all of the options.
All the IO operations.
All of the, yes. And in fact, I was reading through this. One of the things that it is able to do is create either synchronous
mm-hmm.
or random IOs. You can simply select a directory and tell it to randomly pick files and subdirectories in that directory and do IO operations on them. Random IO operations. It was really impressive, and you can set the size or a range of size to either. I think it's on page 3 that they start talking about this. Sequential reading, random reading, and all that. So I was gonna go through it some more to see if I can figure out fully how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And see if we can simply use that. About the replay, I'm not sure about the replay. It seems to do pretty well whatever you want based on the job file.
Okay.
But I'm not sure it does replays.
There
was no reference to BT replay in there. It seems to be using a lot of the Unix utilities that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But BT replay was nowhere near here. So I don't think it does replays.
So I guess the real question then is how much can we use the Flex IO, the flexible IO, and can we use it as a command line, or do we need to change it somehow to do what we want our simulator to do, right?
Yeah.
Can we, for instance, read in a certain IO operation and then instead use flex IO to do the IO operation, right? Instead of doing it ourselves and issue the flex IO operation at the correct time.
Exactly, you issue a flex IO job
mm-hmm.
with and
but that would flex require IO
can be configured
mm-hmm.
to generate two threads for the input output.
I see.
That we talked about. In fact, it can have multiple threads, and you have to put a limit on threads and the throughput. Even the throughput can be controlled through here.
Mm-hmm. Seems like they also have a lot of monitoring options, right?
To
monitor a whole bunch of different things.
The monitor. Which page are you?
The first page, right? Generate per job latency logs, generate per job bandwidth logs.
Ah.
Yeah, that.
Okay, those I saw, but.
That is after
didn't
the.
Didn't pay attention to.
After the IO operations are completed.
And
so,
the jobs, each job is an. Can be as big as one request or a range of requests for an extended period of time.
Oh, I see.
So,
and is there any? Yeah. So I guess if it does timing accurate job issuing or IO issuing, then even that part is taken care of. So then we just need to create an input job file for FIO to read from.
And we simply call it an FIO. We can simply fork to the FIO.
So this is, flexible IO. So this is sort of an alternative to BT replay in some sense.
There's also another one called here, WASP.
What
is a generic user space asynchronous syscall interface to approach asynchronous IO.
I don't even know what that means.
I guess what it means is that to do asynchronous IO,
mm-hmm.
it create a thread that take care of the IO.
I see. Yeah, I think that's exactly what we're looking for. We can simply just generate a thread for
the
IO operation.
No, but actually the leap IO sends there is no thread involved. Just send the request to the system.
Okay, so the WASI IO might be a better option then.
Well, it's another option, right?
Yeah, I guess we would have to. I'd have to look through this some more to see what would be the best option to do this. Yeah, they even have a reference here concerning the quasi.
Seems like this is written by Jen Saxbo.
Written?
Yeah, the Fire is written by Jen Saxbo.
Is he
famous? This is the guy who wrote the Linux block layer code.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is the year? Is it the year?
I don't see. They usually have the year over there, I don't know.
2009. The day is spring.
They do not have a year, but the file itself have a year. That's the source file. I already have the source file, and I'm starting to look through it.
I mean, this guy also wrote did Jen Saxbo write the block grid stuff, or did someone else?
Yeah,
he was the one who wrote block grid, right?
Yeah.
So then his FlexI was to should just read from a block grid file and replace, because BT replay is written by someone else.
By him
again?
Yeah.
So what is he doing writing this stuff then?
I don't know, probably
this is maybe earlier than BT replay.
Yeah.
And in this case you can ask this tool to do a sort of high level description of the IO, right? To say, okay, this many random writes, this many sequential, and so on. So you can sort of set up those kinds of synthetic work.
I don't think BT replay is done by him, but it's part of a block trace package.
My understanding was someone else wrote the BT.
But it's part of the block trace package.
Part of the block trace package.
So what you're saying is that what they should do was to
integrate this.
But that's
a replay tool. This is more of a synthetic workload generator.
It's more like a management.
But it can apparently also do specific IO operations that you ask it to do.
Yeah.
Right. So the question is, can we give it a trace file with timestamps, and can it do something?
I would guess if that's the case, I would guess that BT reply does a better job, because it's I think the design of BT replies for replay of traces is a good one.
Yeah, I think BT would be a better tool for actual replay. Yeah.
So which means that we could. Combine to some extent what this does with what BT replay does.
Mm-hmm. One of the reason I really like this is that the
core,
the fact that you can simply go in a specific directory made up of multiple files. In fact, you can even give it a range of seeks or position range into each file that it can go in. I can definitely see that we could, for example, give it a directory with multiple files and have it read them directly from our SSD, for example, and use the trace tool to trace that so that, let's say we have it as 50% sequential and 50% random, then we know for sure that the workload is 50% sequential and 50% random. Instead of, for example, having it on a server and run the trace file, that way we don't know the exact percentage of sequential versus randomness of the trace file.
Yeah, so this will create the distribution of random versus sequential, read versus write that we have.
Including size ranges. We can control all that and have that into a trace file that we can input into BT replay or our tool if we decide to make the emulator.
I agree, that makes sense.
We can also, I don't know if that's valid, but we can also get the statistics we need from the traces and give that as an input to this. So we get, the same workload, right?
But then if we already have the traces, then there is no need to
generate
more traces.
Right? I see. But, yeah. I was saying it's because if we want to run, for instance, in a longer time duration or something like that, probably useful.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be that maybe as you can, maybe in the end we'll end up with a custom emulator that we write ourselves, but which uses some code from some of these, maybe from this guy, and maybe the replay part from BT Replay.
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly what I was thinking too.
Or if you can, did you look at the BT Replay code at all?
No, I looked at this code instead, since it seems to practically do everything. I was actually looking in this for the replay part.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we could see that a trace, but it didn't have it.
Yeah, I don't...
I was really hoping for that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it can do it, I don't know. Cause...
I mean, I don't know. Maybe we'll have to change the... trace description into a job description. Perhaps we could create a little tool that just make that transition. But I don't think you can control the timing, though. You can simply control the
order.
Quest, the order of it, but no timing.
Yeah. I see. I don't see job parameters. There it is.
Yeah, it's in page. And first they start with the different types of parameters they have, and the parameter list is a really long list. I think most of this is the parameter list.
All of this stuff?
Yeah.
For the job?
Yeah.
We used to write the job name, directory, see it has a directory.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas our jobs are more of IO operations, like block level IO operations, it's not about direct. And so this seems more of a file system IO. Workflow generators. Right, rather than block IO generator. Right? That's what I see. Yeah, it is file system IO generator, which means we cannot directly use our block trace stuff in here.
Yeah, then that's why it doesn't have the block trace will already have been external, right? You simply run block trace and run this.
Yeah.
And then it's a request.
But here you see there are some time related parameters, think time, which says a small stall job for a given number of microseconds between issuing IOs.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is think time spin, which means use the CPU for a certain amount of time between issuing IOs.
Yeah, think time block.
Wow, that's a huge number of parameters.
Yeah. It's almost like disk sim parameter file.
Yeah. So I think what we can use from this at least is the asynchronous IO stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And how that, but I think we'll have to create our own threads then.
I mean, maybe we can use the same code that they have here for hashing thread, IO completion in the other thread, and coordination between the threads and things like that. So we can probably use some part of the code from here.
Yeah.
But probably the BT reply call is better suited for what we're trying to do, right? After all, it's it's replay.
Yeah, this is more suited to actually generating the traces and record them with the block trace.
Yeah, correct.
So
exactly.
That would
so
be really useful.
Yeah,
that.
That's true. But this is a good find, I think.
Yeah.
I think we've never used this before.
No, actually, it's very nice. Actually, I have been doing workloads like this. Remember the Randup, for instance?
Yeah, but this is for that you need a file system to do this stuff.
Because
this is a file IO workload generator, not a block workload.
See.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you need to specify directories. Maybe you can still specify dev something.
Yeah, that's
maybe
what I'm trying to see if you can specify one file.
A device file.
Yeah.
Maybe you can. Who knows?
For instance, here it says file name is one of the options, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. So,
if you want to share files between threads in a job or several jobs, it says file name for each of them to override the default.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can, if that file name could be a device file.
Yeah. If it's a device file, then still we need to address the replay part because this guy just has options to say fixed amount of think time, fixed amount of spinning time between jobs.
It will be nicer to have something like a distribution of time or distribution of.
Yeah,
I saw a rate earlier. Let me see. Where is that?
But once again, that's the rate, it's fixed, right? So it cannot change over time.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, input output operations per second. That's bandwidth control. Okay. What do you mean by priority class? That is one thing I keep running about in Ionice.
Priority class?
Yeah.
Ionice. Set I priority value of this job between. Yeah. So this is the priority of the process.
Nice.
And yeah. And this is the priority of the process for disk related operations. This is the priority of the process in the CPU scheduler.
Okay.
And this is the priority of the process in the disk scheduler.
Oh, okay. Okay,
exactly.
I see. Well, what I meant is when I was reading the man page for this, they keep referring to schedule, priority, class, or process. I didn't know what they mean by priority, class, or process. Well, I knew what a process was, but they keep saying priority, class. And over here, you have prior class that
yeah.
I was talking about.
I don't know what is that, but
it
seems...
I was wondering what
it seems
is... See, there it is, set IO priority class.
Yeah, it seems to be...
It's related to Ionice.
Yeah. But it seems to be, you know, that there are some classes of requests where you can say, only do this request when there are no other requests in the system, for instance.
Yeah, I think in Ionice it's idle. You have it as idle.
Exactly.
And it only happens when there's nothing else going on.
Exactly. Or high priority, you know, do this as fast as you can.
I figured they would just call that the priority of the of the request, not priority class.
Yeah, in some sense.
It's weird the way they word it, and they were specific to separate priority class from the process priority. So I was wondering what that was. Okay. So yeah, mostly what I was interested in this was getting to see how they use the POST6 and interface for disk input I/O. So that I could reproduce that and use it in R code. And then I was gonna go to BT Replay to see how they do it, as in taking the block traces and generate the multiple threads.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, I agree with Louis that BT Replay might be a more suitable starting point with some of the async stuff borrowed from here if needed.
Yeah.
But this is of independent interest anyway, I think, for us. That's a
But the thing is that BT Replay already includes some asynchronous I/O operations, right? Like what it does.
The background stuff, I mean, can it do background I/O to say, okay, split the request stream into two parts and issue more I/Os online? I mean, it cannot do the indirection stuff that we wanted to do, right?
It cannot do the indirection stuff.
And this is indirection, cannot be pre-processed because we are doing online indirection. We redirect I/Os depending on the actual observed latencies during runtime. So we cannot create a trace for BT Replay where indirection is already built into.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that probably what we can take from BT Replay is the handling of the I/O itself. All the handling of the I/O that includes the asynchronous I/O as well as the threads that handle the sending and completion of the I/O.
And
the question I have about that is that portable. Interface that BT Replay used, because one of the reasons we were considering using the AIO is because it's a POST6 compatible, and that's why I found this in the first place, is because I was looking for that. BT Replay?
BT Replay is not portable, definitely.
Now let me say that it seems like you can find a portable equivalent of what BT Replay does.
Yeah,
because
that's
that guy
what
does it. So which means that for us, that's good enough. So we could just go with what BT Replay has, and later on, if there is wider interest, then we can worry about changing those to make the calls portable.
Okay.
So by taking the BT Replay approach, we are not restricting ourselves for the future, because we see there is proof that with FlexIO that there is an equivalent async portable library that could be used if we are worried about portability at a later.
So why is portability so important here?
Why is it not important?
No, why is it important?
I think in general portability is important. That's what
I'm
saying, that for us at this point portability is not critical.
Okay.
Later on, if we know that there is a way to make BT Replay portable. Right, yeah. Because this guy does it, right? And it's written by Jen Saxbo, then it's certainly something that would work. Because that's what this guy does all the time, right? So if he says that there is a POSIX compliant async I/O
that works,
then it works.
But
so
it's not what it says, right? It only says that he used the interface. Yeah, well, I'm saying this is because I tried one and it didn't work.
Yeah,
so one thing we can do.
What you're saying is create a job file and test it.
Exactly.
That interface.
Exactly.
Yeah, including the WASI interface, because it sounds really interesting.
Exactly.
WASI.
So in either case, it could just be a matter of Linux not implementing the asynchronous.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I think.
Interface.
Actually, I think most of the operating system doesn't implement the asynchronous POSIX interface. Yeah.
Somehow so if the OS doesn't implement it, then I guess
there is no way to get it in there.
Yeah. So okay. So I think, our main concern with this guy is the cancellation of the I/O.
Yeah.
Because it tells us how to cancel I/Os, and we can reuse that in the BT Replay code because of the we have this requirement of canceling I/Os. We also need to create threads, which if you're not written C programs that create multiple threads, then you could possibly. Well, actually, BT Replay code also has threads, right?
Yeah.
They also create threads to handle completion. So I guess you could just use that. So I would
encourage you to use BT Replay as your starting point for development. And as needed, we could use stuff from here.
Yeah. It seems to be here that they use, you have an option of selecting either using fork, which creates a process, and using pthread, create threads instead.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of options in here.
Yeah, I think what we need is pthreads.
Yeah.
Because there is no need to use a fork. And pthreads, you have the ability to synchronize between the threads, say, and pass the data between the threads much more easily.
Okay. Alright.
But this next step that you're going to engage in is going to take a fair amount of time.
Yeah, because
so
I have to go through the code to figure out the parts that I need from this, and as well as the parts from BT Replay.
Yeah. Certainly use Lewis's help because he's been doing this kind of stuff for a while. Yeah. And,
okay.
You know, during the meetings, we can try and help you make more progress.
Yeah, that would be great. Since I have the whole job thing and I have less time to dedicate to it in the first place,
it'd
be good if you guys help me to get to the parts that I need quicker.
Okay. All right, great. So I need to still read a little bit of this paper that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
I got a chance to look at it.
Me too. I did help.